Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Sadhi. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Sadhi. Gopi Jana Badalva Giri Vada Dati. Gopi Jana Badalva Giri Vada Dati. Jasoda Nandana Prajajana Ranjana. Jasoda Nandana Prajajana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vana Shadi. Jamuna Tiravana Chadi. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Padi. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Adi. Jaya Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivajagacharya Astatarasata Sri Srimadas Divine Grace Asi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Dindaki Granthraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Gaur Premanandi. Is it Chapter 22? 21. Oh. Well, I prepared for a different verse. That's okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tam Tva Nubhrutyo Parata Kriyartam. Samayaya Vartitat Lokatantram. Namantya Bhikshnam Namat. Nama Niyavada Sarojam Apiyasi Kama Varsham Tam Tva Nubhutyo Parata Kriyartam Samayaya Vartita Loka Tantram Namantya Bhikshnam Samaniyapada Sarojam Apiyasi Kama Varsham. Tanubhutya Parata Priyartam. Tam. That. Tva. You. Anubhutya. By realizing. Uparata. Disregarding. Kriya. Enjoyment of fruitive activities. Artam. In order that. Svamayaya. By your own energy. Vartita. Brought about. Lokatantram. The material worlds. Namami. I offer obeisances. Abhikshnam. Continuously. Namaniya. Worshipable. Pada sarorum sarujam. Lotus feet. Alpiyasi. On the insignificant. Kama. Desires. Varsham. Showering. Translation. I continuously offer my respectful obeisances unto your lotus feet, of which it is worthy to take shelter, because you shower all benedictions on the insignificant to give all living entities detachment from fruitive activities. By realizing you, you have expanded these material worlds by your own energy. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Everyone, therefore, whether he desires material enjoyment, liberation, or transcendental loving service of the Lord, should engage himself, offering obeisances unto the Supreme Lord, because the Lord can award everyone his desired benediction. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord affirms, Yayatamam prapadyante, anyone who desires to be a successful enjoyer in this material world is awarded that benediction by the Lord. Anyone who wants to be liberated from the entanglement of this material world is given liberation by the Lord. And anyone who desires to constantly engage in his service in full Krishna consciousness is awarded that benediction by the Lord. For material enjoyment, he has prescribed so many ritualistic sacrificial performances in the Vedas. And thus, people may take advantage of those instructions and enjoy material life in higher planets or in a noble aristocratic family. These processes are mentioned in the Vedas, and one can take advantage of them. It is similar with those who want to be liberated from this material world. Paragraph. Unless one is disgusted with the enjoyment of this material world, he cannot aspire for liberation. Liberation is for one who is disgusted with material enjoyment. Vedanta Sutra says, therefore, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, those who have given up the attempt to be happy in this material world can inquire about the Absolute Truth. For those who want to know the Absolute Truth, the Vedanta Sutra is available, as is Srimad Bhagavatam, the actual explanation of Vedanta Sutra. Since Bhagavad Gita is also Vedanta Shruta, by understanding Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedanta Shruta, or Bhagavad Gita, one can obtain real knowledge. When one obtains real knowledge, he becomes theoretically one with the Supreme. And when he actually begins the service of Brahman, or Krishna consciousness, he is not only liberated, but situated in his spiritual life. Similarly, For those who want to lord it over material nature, there are so many departments of material enjoyment. The material knowledge and material science are available, and the Lord provides for persons who want to enjoy them. The conclusion is that one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead for any benediction. The word kama, varsham, is very significant, for it indicates that he satisfies the desires of anyone who approaches him. But one who sincerely loves Krishna and yet wants material enjoyment is in perplexity. Krishna, being very kind toward him, gives him an opportunity to engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, and so he gradually forgets the hallucination. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksun and Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. And this is one volume. I was thinking this morning, because I read the wrong verse, but it's just the same volume. How much energy and commitment Prabhupada made to provide us with the Srimad Bhagavatam and its commentary, and what to speak of all the other Chaitanya Charitamrita and all the other literatures. Amazing. When asked, how is it possible, Prabhupada said, a little bit every day. More than a little bit every day, but a little bit every day and every day and every day for years with the single-minded focus that people in the human form of life should have the opportunity to rise above goodness, to ignorance and passion, at least come to the position of knowledge, and from the position of knowledge. So anyway, the motivation and inspiration of our founder Acharya is found very readily in his Bhaktivedanta purports. This verse is spoken by Karnama Muni to Lord Vishnu, who is standing on the back of Garuda, and he's looking up and seeing Lord Vishnu and offering prayers. This is the final set of his prayers. And there's a, in connection with what this particular verse and purport are saying, he has a desire. Now, the desire is assigned to him by his forefathers, by the Prajapatis, and that is, Lord Brahma has produced the universe. Now, we are assigned, and we're assigning you the service of filling up the universe. Please. And he doesn't want to fill up the universe. But he has this service. And so, the service is, you know, being awarded a suitable wife or queen or assistant to assist him in this lovely service. So his focus is the personality of Godhead, not filling up the universe and producing so many, 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 many. So he, coming attractions, he's given the association of Devahuti by Swayambhuva Manu, the father of Devahuti, and he says yes, she says yes, and the rest of is coming, but his mind is completely fixed on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's a super elevated personality, besides having, you know, the title of being a Muni, he's super, super qualified. He's fully Krishna conscious. And from this verse and the previous verses in his set of prayers, he's understanding very clearly there's a source of everything, and that source of everything is you, Lord Vishnu. And you, as the source of everything, have this capacity and willingness to supply whatever anybody wants. Of course, the method for that is through the Vedas, the desire tree that supplies everything spiritual, material. Before coming here, I was in another suburb of Chicago. Palatine is a suburb of Chicago. And we were discussing a particular point from Jiva Goswami's Sandarbhas, where Jiva Goswami is explaining what's explained here, but the language is a little different. The language that of Jiva Goswami is, when one is approaching the personality of Godhead and seeking shelter from the personality of Godhead, the Lord certainly reciprocates. Now, even if one wants something material, Lord may reciprocate. But in the case of one who is approaching the personality of Godhead, seeking his shelter, the Lord, according to Jiva Goswami, there's two things from the Lord's side. And one is, he gives his two lotus feet. He gives himself. And then the second is, he uses the word yatarham, or corresponding to the desire. And the Lord, you know, desires are subtle. Sometimes they're articulated, and sometimes they're not articulated. But even in either case, the Lord knows the desire. And corresponding to the desire, there's reciprocation. So he's not obliged, but he knows, and he has that capacity and the willingness and the loving disposition. Somebody, you know, just like a loving parent, the child doesn't have to ask, "It's cold, can I have a jacket?" You know, they got 15 jackets ready. "Which one do you like?" Or, you know, "I'm hungry," you know. So a loving parent is more than happy to supply, even without being asked. So if one asks or one doesn't ask, there's a desire or a circumstance that one wants the fulfillment of, and the Lord, his nature is, he reciprocates. As he's flying in the air on the back of Garuda, receiving the prayers of Kardama Muni, he has come because there's a desire. And it's not a lusty desire, it's a service desire given to him by his forefathers to produce praja. But he's very specific, and his inclination, as we'll find, you know, going forward, he accepts the hand of Devahuti with the understanding that when a son is born, I'm heading for the hills. See you later. And she's okay. And so that's what happens. A son is born and he heads for the hills. Because he wasn't attached, he was attached to, as is being indicated here, the personality Godhead, and then someone, in his case, Kardama Muni's case, he has a desire to fulfill a higher purpose, that is, a son who can deliver many, 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 who are the praja, who or the prajapatis want to fill up the universe. So So that he is a son that will act as an agent or representative of the Supreme Person. So thus a representative of the Vedas, one who knows the Vedas and lives by it, and ultimately is able to provide the topmost. And he does it in his discussions with his mother and in turn with others. Because that's the disposition that was wanted by Karmamuni. Because one soul that is of that quality, character, and disposition can benefit the whole world. And that's what he wanted, to be, you know, the father of such a son. There's a whole other series of things that are said in relation to a person. Let's just say a few. A person who is anyone, we received a body from mother and father. One who receives a body, immediately there's debt. Debt to this, debt to that, debt to the other, debt to the other, debt to the other. Just get a body, you got debts. And then the human form of life is meant to oblige those debts, the indebtedness. And according to Vedic culture, by producing a son, and the son can assist the father in producing, you know, performing activities that are release the father of his debts. That's the son's duty. And then the alternative is you become Krishna conscious and the debts are cleared. Krishna clears the account. Duties are fulfilled by one thing. Take shelter of the personal he got it in loving service. So he's dharmic, and beyond dharmic he's a great Vaishnava, and therefore Vishnu appears and he offers appropriate prayers according to his heart's disposition and according to the capacity of the person who he's offering the prayers to, Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu is very pleased by his submission and his wisdom, and you know the answer is yes, essentially. But yataraham, aligned with or according to the inclination of heart of one who is approaching the personality of Godhead, then accordingly there's reciprocation. And then you'll break it down, as is done here. Supposing somebody wants something material, supposing somebody wants liberation, supposing somebody wants bhakti. No, it's not like snap your fingers, but moving in that direction, there's reciprocation. And ultimately the reciprocation, either directly from the personality of God or indirectly to the Vedas, then those needs or wants or desires can be fulfilled or will be fulfilled. Because submission through even the Karmakanda section of the Vedas is submission to the Vedas, accepting the authority of the Vedas and the Brahmanas who administer the yajñas. It's their submission, ultimately submission to the Supreme. Because it's all about submission to the Supreme or surrender. Yetam mam prapadyante. Those sarva dharmam parityaja doesn't mean abandon being a religious person. It means abandoning the material purpose of dharma, which is artha. And then what follows artha is kama. So abandon artha and kama, and for that matter, liberation or moksha. For leaving one thing, mame kam sharanam. So the whole of the Vedic process, any of the whole range of the Vedas, there is submission unto the Vedas. and accepting the authority of the Vedas because I want X, Y, and Z. And the Vedas provide, they give a prescription, X, Y, Z. You go for X, Y, Z and not to the personality of Godhead, there's a problem. Even if you get, what to speak of if you're King Driga and you make a boo-boo, unintentional, then there's consequences for errors or faults, and who can do something that's flawless? Show me the person, flawless person, other than a pure devotee. There's going to be flaw, and then there's consequences for flaw, and so you stay within the material energy. So the initial flaw is stay within the material energy, and the flaw less is you approach the personality of Godhead, because by so doing, A and B, you know, the material may be fulfilled. Of course, Krishna could snatch the material and leave you with only his lotus feet. That's his special mercy, but otherwise some material and his lotus feet. That's the Vedic process, because the goal of the Vedas is one thing, to attain Krishna, to Vedaishta Sayarvayar Aham Eva Vedyo, is to know Krishna, and how to know Krishna without the direct association of Krishna. So there's Krishna provides his association so one can know him. He gives his message, Bhagavad Gita. He gives messages about him, etc. You know, everything that's needed is provided. And acknowledgement of that is what's the message of this purport and this whole series of verses. He, Kardamoni, has a desire. And the answer is yes. But, you know, it's a little indirect, but that's draw the line and do the math, and it's yes. Now we're not, what's the lesson for us? We're not of Kardamoni's caliber in many ways. But the principle applies to everyone regardless of their position. The submission unto the Supreme and the reciprocation from the Supreme according to yatarham, according to one's disposition. The reciprocation comes. And therefore, it's advisable to learn from the Shastra what are the different levels of interaction with that Supreme, up to loving service unto the Supreme, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam, Bhakti Ruchate, to use the body and the mind and our senses in the service of the Supreme, service of the Master of the Senses. Pretty simple, very straightforward. Just, I was thinking that the topic on Sunday is Arjavam, simplicity. One statement that Prabhupada made, and once understanding what Arjavam means more precisely, devotional service is simple for the simple and difficult for the crooked. You've probably all heard that phrase before. Simple for the simple, difficult for the crooked. So the simple means not crooked, straightforward. And it's training to become straightforward. And that is possible when we have real shelter. Say the opposite. If you don't have real shelter, it's hard to be straightforward. Because one will be influenced by the material energy and material desires and our even ability to see what's what is taken away. So proper vision, proper understanding, and move in a very simple and straightforward manner towards that destination. I mean, that's our bhakti life. That's how this little section concludes. We'll hear what comes next tomorrow. See if there's any discussion. As you like.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for a very nice class. I have an ongoing question. Why did, Kardamuni is so exalted.
Yes.
But when he's finally there and says, "I really want a wife," he could just say, "I've been given this service. Please provide me with a wife to help me in my service." But he doesn't. He sort of like says, kind of like, "I'm so fallen, I have this desire." So I'm just curious, like, why does he, like, what's the point of it being presented like that? How to understand why it's presented in that way?
Well, to respond to your question, you have to understand what the issue is. Don't take the microphone. I'm going to ask you to explain what is that, you know, discomfort in the way that he's saying what he's saying. Because is it necessary for a straightforward and honest person to lay it out or just say, you know, the punchline? The punchline is, "Wife, please." But and then there's a purpose behind that. There's a, you know, there's layers behind, but that's the punchline. So, what's the discomfort?
Probably the discomfort is I'm just so fallen and neophyte that I don't see things so clearly. But he says sort of like another thing when he's requesting a wife that he, I don't remember now the exact words, but like a like-minded wife or someone with like disposition, something like this. And so I've always been curious, what does that mean in terms of material disposition or like what you were saying?
Both, you know, material and spiritual.
Hmm.
Yeah. I'm not married. But there are people that are married. Yesterday, I went to visit Brahmatirtha in Gainesville. And he said many things. His wife, Bhakti, wasn't there because she was doing marriage counseling for people that were like, they had to hand each on each other's throats. It was violent. But they didn't get married. Hey, let's have a relationship like that. So the like-mindedness is material and spiritual, so that there's some alignment. You know, it doesn't end up some unpleasant. So therefore, in his case, or in the case of, you know, his parents and, you know, her parents, and they evaluate those things. Is there, how close is there? So that there's compatibility. No, one can rise above compatibility and go into a relationship that's incompatible when there's a place of shelter. And when the place of shelter, that's the purpose. And serving that purpose and that person, that's the purpose. That keeps them, you know, the train moving instead of breaking apart. But it's a good starting position, so there's compatibility, like-mindedness. or like disposition, so both spiritual and material. We probably all, I could, you know, spin out and say, once upon a time, he married her and she married him, and there was compatibility, but some time passed and something happened. They started moving in different directions because whatever. And then it's like Cold War. Anyway, so alignment, you know, compatibility. Then higher purposes can be served. In his case, it's the higher purpose. No, in the end, he leaves the relationship. But he leaves behind a son who's going to take care of his wife. And boy, does the son take care of his wife and so many other people. Because, so, that's the story, but you're, you know, back to your question, you know, why is he asking the question the way that he's asking? My simple statement is, it's implicit. It's not explicit. But Lord Vishnu knows, and the person addressing Lord Vishnu knows what's in the heart of the person who's addressing him. Yataham upayunjataha. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandeyu. So it's there. Explicit or implicit. So I don't fault him for not being like, can we have a contract? We'll spell all the details, please. Thank you. He knows. Vishnu knows. He's more interested in glorifying the person and thus the relationship between the served and the servitor. That's the emphasis. The person unto whom I'm issuing this request, you're this and that and the other thing and the other thing and the other thing, and your capacity is, you're the supreme. Okay. I'm dwelling on it because you say you've been struggling with it, so it's like taking a little bit of extra time.
You've said many things that resonate, including somehow this like disposition. You know, in their relationship, she was austere with him serving. Then they did the whole marriage thing, and then finally she was okay with like him leaving and being turned over to a very qualified son. So
yeah.
I'm thinking this also in terms of like disposition.
She did so like disposition. No, attached, but able to be detached from the wife's perspective as from the husband's perspective. And the consequence for both of them, is different. And he's fine, and she needs protection. She's protected by her father, Swayambhuva Manu, and then her husband. And then her husband's gone. So she can find peace and satisfaction and, you know, protection from her son. And she does. And wow, very gifted son, indeed. Okay, anything else?
I just want to add one small
thing. Yeah,
if
sure.
That's okay. It's this, also this section is very powerful for me because it reminds me of how even at this point in creation, Krishna's coming in some way. Vishnu's coming to. From the beginning, give us guidance as well.
Mm.
Always give us an opportunity to take shelter and the highest, like the highest shelter. So how merciful he is, even at this point, to constantly be providing along with like everything else.
Well, let me ask you in response to what you just said. It would seem, it's more likely in the beginning than after it gets really messy. And it gets really messy, like, how are you going to see the Supreme? Because it's messy. And I'm all implicated in messy stuff. And this, and that, and the other, and the other. So here it's much more straightforward. Step one, step two, step three, there's Vishnu. And step 100, and 300, and 500 is like, so it's my, I'd say it the same thing the other way. When things get messy or things get more complicated, it may be a realistic expectation to lose track of Vishnu because of the complication, problems, disturbances, and, you know. But in his case, it's like, you're just getting started. The universe is just getting started. Build fresh universe in a few living entities. Vishnu, front and center. Yes.
When I remember reading in Vaishnava Tosani that when Uddhava came to counsel, or Uddhava was sent by Lord Krishna to counsel the Vrajavasis, yeah, and having discussion with Nanda Maharaj, that Nanda Maharaj is glorifying King Dasharath, that he left this world in Dean's, due to deep separation, but I'm not even that qualified. And then he started crying, but then Uddhava was countering. He said, oh, no, you are actually higher than Dasharath, because when Ramchandra came back, he was not there. And even though he heard in the forest that his father left, but when he came back, it reawakened him. Oh, my father is not here, and it was devastated. But so when Krishna comes back, you will be here. So it will give him more pleasure than Dasharath. So do not underestimate. So in this case, Maharaj.
That's a very nice example.
Thank you. In this case, I'm just asking that, is that Kardama Muni displaying a pastime that, okay, there's a qualified son, I can go display the detachment, vairagya, which is necessary for householder at the end when you have a qualified son.
Yeah.
Or did he regret, like, oh, I wish I was there. The object of my life is the Supreme Lord who came as a son. I'm just curious.
Well, you're asking a very microscopic question. What's in the heart of Kardama Muni?
Yes.
And he's extraordinary in many, many ways. So does that extraordinariness encompass, he knows what's going to happen before it happens. And therefore, he's simply enacting a leela, which is what your question is, because he's got a role to play in the leela. You know, you can take that question and apply it to any other exalted Vaishnava. Do they really understand? They're just enacting, Maharsh Pariksit, that when he placed this dead snake around Shyamakrishi's neck, this is just a leela. I'm just playing my part, and I'm supposed to hear Srimad Bhagavatam later. And, you know, did he understand where the train is going when he in each step?
Mm-hmm. But when he was acting, he was not thinking, I'm acting the role. Later on, he regretted.
Well.
Why? How did I do this?
Yeah. So those who are exalted personalities under the influence of the internal potency, they're making choices, yes, but Do they understand where the train is going? That this is a, I might have a little part to play in this Leela, in same Kardamuni. Do I just have a little part to play and, you know, to make the arrangement for the personality of Godhead to become, or an incarnation to become my son, and then say Hari Bol to my wife and to him? Because you know, he, Kardamuni, is already situated in full Krishna consciousness. So in this situation, that situation, the other situation, he's in full Krishna consciousness. I mean, it's coming up in the next chapter, because that's the verse that I prepared for, it's the next chapter. He, Kardamuni, after having a discussion, he becomes silent. And in the explanation is, his silence means he was absorbed. While he was speaking, he was absorbed. And now he stopped speaking, he was absorbed. Manmana. He's absorbed in Lord Vishnu, meditation upon Lord Vishnu, whether acting or silent. So one will understand what Vishnu wants one to understand. You have a role to play, say this, do that. Or, you know, beyond. There's a purpose. Here's the purpose for you to say this and say that, because here's where the train's going. It's a Leela. You're just your pawn on my chessboard, and say this and do that. Thank you very much. Now, there's free will.
How is when Devahuti was asking that, please guide me how to be transcendental, remain in transcendental platform,
yeah,
to go beyond the three modes.
Yeah.
So the Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gave a little commentary, saying, she is already in transcendental platform.
Yeah.
Otherwise, how conceive the Supreme Lord?
Yeah.
But she feels she needs to go there.
Yeah.
But so, there's genuine feeling. She's not pretending.
Okay. Okay. So now this, it's another example with the same question.
Yes.
I got it. So she's a humble Vaishnavi, a transcendental and humble Vaishnavi, so she's feeling not qualified, as opposed to somebody else that's not qualified. You know, humble and not qualified. So what's her position? Or, you know, take anything. You know, when Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, I'm lower than a worm in stool. Does he really feel that? Or is it a transcendental emotion? You know, this is the microscopic what's inside the heart of this devotee, that devotee, the other devotee, Nanda Maharaj, and, you know, Uddhava, and, you know, what's... They're in a loving relationship with the personality of Godhead, in different opulences or intimacies or Bandhurya and Aishwarya relationship, and they're moving according to the Supreme Lord's will. They're making choices, in part, they have free will, but they're making their choices induced by the Supreme Lord to suit his happiness, because his happiness is their happiness, etc. You know, this is the chicken or the egg, which comes first. Krishna wants the devotee to be happy, and therefore they make, you know, he induces them to make choices that he knows will make them happy, and that gives him happiness to see them happy. You know, it's a microscopic, you know, what's in the heart of the devotee. A loving relationship with Krishna is in the heart, and Krishna reciprocates with them in inconceivable ways. In other words, whether it's A or B, whether it's Kardamuni is saying what he's saying and expressing what he's expressing because he knows where the train's going. It's a leela, and he's just playing his part in the leela, and he's happy to play his part in the leela because that's an intimate relationship with the Supreme Lord. Or he's actually making decisions that are influenced by, and at any moment he could say no, but he's influenced by the indication of the personality of Godhead, Vishnu in his case. And that's their activities together, Vishnu and Kardamuni. We had a little bit of a discussion in one of the home programs. It's a very similar discussion. I think we'd like to move on to some other topic. Yes.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, thank you. I was a little confused at the translation for this verse. The second part of the translation where it goes, to give all living entities detachment from fruit of activity by realizing you, you have expanded these material worlds by your own energy. I was confused because it seems counterintuitive that...
Because why?
Expanding the material worlds in order to help living entities become detached from it, like fruit of activity. It seemed counterintuitive to me. Like, my understanding from the, and I felt like the purport was talking about how Lord Krishna is giving benedictions to all living entities fulfill their desires. So he gives them the benediction by creating the material world because they want to enjoy, but then he also gives them the Vedas and other ways to attain him and become detached from fruit of activity. Is that a correct understanding?
I think I understand, but I'm not sure I understand what your question is, but I will respond to what I think your question is. Step back from the statement, the Vedas provides, it's the Kalpa Vriksha tree that provides material and spiritual. So why, the question seems to be, why giving material assists facilitating detachment? And the answer is, the material is not satisfying. But you want it, and so rather than say no, it's okay, but you're not going to be satisfied. But here it is. Om Jai Jagadisha Hare. And in course of time, a little light goes on. I'm not satisfied. And then, you know, one may come to the place of detachment from that desire and replace that desire with a spiritual desire. So that's the purpose within the Vedas and with, you know, from Vishnu or Krishna to the living entity that wants something that's unwholesome.
Fine.
Okay.
There was just a little commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur.
On this?
To her question, I just kind of felt like maybe it answers in some way. He says, when by mercy you give realization of your sweetness, the desire to enjoy automatically ceases.
How do you get there? When somebody is like adamant. I want to enjoy. Deprive them. Or give them. And the purpose of giving them, that's not nice, because they'll become entangled. No, but by giving them, a little light will go on saying, you know what? So before bhakti, there has to be some letting go of other stuff before bhakti can really take root. That's one of the nice teachings. I'd like to end Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
No. This chair on rollers.
I know.